This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, we are going to be doing a generic fantasy role-playing campaign. We're using D&D 5e, but if you've actually listened to the podcast, I like to run my own kind of game. So it's kind of like, hey, D&D without all the stupid stuff, but then with my own stupid stuff, I think it'll be fun. At least I hope so. I'm going to be calling this campaign Time After Time. Why would you call it that? I don't know. You might find out soon. Usually when you have a campaign, you usually go, oh, let's go around the table and talk to who's who, and then they can introduce who they are. That's not what we're doing today. What we're going to do is we're going to start with a story. Okay. But the story kind of jumps into everything. So bright white light. All of our characters, all of our main friends, it's almost like you've woken up from a real deep sleep and you wake up to something horrific. That's the only thing I can call it. You all have woken up to find yourself holding a piece of a person, and you would think that the person would be attached to all these pieces of their body, but they're not. So we've got Tata holding what looks to be a king's head. Why a king's head? Because it is the face of someone that may be regal, but it's hard to tell because it's a big, almost like a big red giant praying mantis. But the only reason you can tell that maybe it's a king because he has a crown on his head. All right, Tata, let's tell everyone what you look like.
So Tata gives off an air of brilliance and impressiveness. Their dark cloak is billowing in the wind as they are strapped down with their massive spell book attached to their side. Their brilliant purple eyes kind of sparkling in the hint of light. You see kind of their impressive purple cloak that's intricately designed with little patches of reds and blues and oranges. They kind of have a moppish set of purple hair on top as well, with kind of slight rosy cheeks over a very a slightly kind of tanned complexion. They also stand about maybe a little under 4 feet tall, about 3.5 or so, slightly rail thin, but still have carry themselves well enough that even though they might only be 3.5 feet tall, they appear well over 6 feet, at least in his own mind.
So Tata, is it Tota or Tata?
Tota.
Tota. Okay. As soon as I said it, I was like, I'm pretty sure I didn't say it right. So I'm glad I asked. So when Tota sees that this head of this king is in their hands, how does Tota react?
There's a brief moment of lack of understanding before he just tosses away, stammering backwards, and lets out a...
Nice. Perfect. All right. Well, we're going to cut from you. And we're going to cut to Belzarin. Is that how you say it? All right. Belzaren, you have one of the king's legs in your arms.
He is very confused and, you know, looks down to see this leg and, you know, looks around sort of not panicked, but like, oh, shit, does somebody see me? And he just throws the leg.
All right. Tell everybody, what does Belzaren look like? And how beautiful does this Belzaren look like when he's throwing this leg?
He's actually rather nondescript. He's got brown hair. His eyes are golden, though. He's a half elf. So he tries to, he doesn't try to hide the fact that his ears are pointed anymore. It does kind of stand out. But brown hair, gold eyes, relatively fair complected. He's wearing black leather with green accent on it. Yeah, and he just tosses the leg and, you know, looks around to, you know, see if anybody saw that he was doing that, because he doesn't remember killing anybody.
Of course, there's a bunch of people actually seeing you do this. One of them is Cam. Cam, you also have the other leg, and you see that Belzaren is actually thrown this leg almost like at you, but like over your head.
Can I catch it?
You sure can. I'm not even going to have you roll for it.
Sweet. I catch it.
Okay. So you have both legs, both these like big, thick legs, red as all can be in your arms. What are you thinking at that moment?
I think in that moment, if I woke up holding a leg, I'd be staring at it sort of intensely. And then seeing the other leg being thrown my way, I just sort of like I'll mindlessly grab it just as a reaction. And then he has them both in his hands, just staring at him like with a kind of a faraway look, like it sort of looks kind of familiar-ish. And it's kind of just, and then it's like strained. And then I think in my head, I'm thinking like, oh my God, not again. And then I'll kind of put him off to the side. And I'll look around like, I'm in the same room as Belzaren.
You are.
Obviously.
You're in the same room as Belzaren. You're also in the same room as Tota. And you're also in the same room as Tamrin. Tamrin, you have both of the king's arms in your hands and you're holding them up almost like swords. How does Tamrin react to this?
Tamrin pauses for several long beats, racking her memory, trying to pull any recollection of anything out as to why she would have part of a creature, much less a creature she doesn't even recognize in her hands. So she's frozen for a moment, just staring and thinking like, what just happened?
So tell everybody what Tamrin looks like as she's trying to figure that out.
Tamrin is, she is fairly tall. She's like about 5'10". She has long white hair that's braided back, pale gray eyes that are so pale they almost look white as well. She has a little bit of a glow about her and sort of an otherworldly nature. There's just a little something about her that's unusual. And for those who would know, she is an Asimar.
And for people that don't know what an Asimar is, what is that exactly?
Oh, you have celestial blood in your veins.
Perfect. Okay. So I just realized that I don't think I had Cam describe himself. So Cam, why don't you do that before we get to the next part?
That's okay. I mean, I'll do it, but you don't. It's fine. I didn't mind. Cam is a tiefling with some red skin, very kind of severe face with some scarring on it. I mean, it's probably about 6'1", maybe six feet around there. I don't know. He just looks very, very serious all the time. That's kind of what it is. I think his eyes are pretty much jet black. So his pupils are black, and he's got these like red horns that come up from the front and go to the back. And there's like a shock of black hair that kind of flows down in front of it that he pulls back sometimes. And it's got like, you know, the pointy tiefling ears, but very, very severe and dark looking. Did I do it? Okay.
You did great.
Okay.
Loved it. Okay. So as you all are kind of staring at like what's happening, you're like, okay, we all have body parts of a what looks to be a king. You all look at each other and you're like, oh yeah, well, yep, that's Tota, that's Belzaren, that's Tamrin, that's Cam. You all recognize each other, your names, but for some reason you can't remember anything else. You don't remember you don't remember your personality. You don't remember your background. You don't remember why you are with these other people or characters or beings. It's like you have this weird amnesia where all of a sudden you're like, why am I, what is happening? I would like for all of you to roll me perception checks, please. And we'll make it easy. We'll make it the DL will be 10.
Nope. 13 for Cam.
17. Six.
So we got two yeses and two noes, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I think the yeses were Belzaren and Cam, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So as you are looking around at each other, you notice that you must be in the bedroom of the king, because it's got a lavish bed, lots of ornate pictures and tchotchkes and trinkets and stuff like that. And you also, this king also must be very vain, because there's tons of mirrors all over the place. And when Cam and Belzaren look into the mirror and they're trying to see themselves, they don't see themselves. They see somebody else. And you look at the other beings, you look at Tota, you look at Tamrin, they look different. Cam, when you look in the mirror, it looks like you are in the body of a beautiful fairy with long red hair and black wings and a beautiful teal gown. And you're not the typical fairy where you're real small. You're actually probably around like 4 feet tall. You're like almost a human sized fairy. Belzaren, you are in the body of a gaunt, creepy looking thin elf that looks like almost like just to make a reference, it's almost look like a vampire almost. And it's just milky white skin and deep dark pockets of like black around your eyes and around your mouth. And you're wearing like the if your character didn't look so creepy, it would all that you have like a very nice like black suit. It would almost look regal if it wasn't on someone as maniacal. Is that the word I'm looking for? Menacing. Yeah. Cam, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say when I catch the reflection in the mirror, I think I immediately draw my scimitar thinking that someone else is in the room. Cause I'm looking, I see Cam, I see the rest of the party, and I look up and I see this other figure and I'm like, whoa.
Nice. So, and you do that and so you're kind of focused on that for now. Cam, you look at the mirror that's across from Tota, and it looks like he's in the body of a huge orc, and it looks like he's this huge orc's been burned almost from head to toe. So like it's just there's just a lot of like burn marks on like face and hand. Like it's where this orc is wearing almost like a tank top, and like all of the chest and the arms and the face, and it's also wearing like shorts, breeches, whatever you want to call them, and the legs are just burnt too. And it looks like this orc, whatever it is owning what has happened to them. So you know, as you're, and you also do that, so then you like you're kind of curious and you turn to see what is in front of Tamrin, and Tamrin looks like a bright pink mind flayer with bright orange hair that is spiked in a
Mohawk.
Please say Mohawk.
Mohawk. Thank you. God, yes. I don't know why I had that.
Mohawk. Yeah. We did it.
Yep. With a huge mohawk and huge shoulders and a very flowing blue, almost looks almost alive kind of dress that kind of floats almost like it's in water.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning. What kind of what did she look like? What race?
Like a
mind flayer.
Mind flayer.
Bright pink skin, orange mohawk, and then a flowing blue dress that almost looks like it's floating in water.
My mind couldn't conceive mind flayer. I heard you say it, and then I immediately blocked it out because I knew that couldn't be right.
You've been affected by a mind flayer then.
Watch out. Dang it. You've already figured it out.
Yeah.
Well, Cameron doesn't roll see credits. Any of this, right? Like, she's no. still staring at
Yeah, you're s- yeah, cards. You're still processing what's happening.
Yeah. Like,
so in person we look like ourselves, but like in the mirrors, I hate to invoke it, but it's like a quantum leap situation. Yeah. It is. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. I want to make sure I understood.
Yes, you understand. I understand
up a little bit
perfectly.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, I'm gonna do a thing. Can I do a thing? I'm gonna do a thing.
Where yes, of course.
I'm gonna use one of my psionic energy dice, and I'm gonna blast off psychic whispers. So, if I can just read this to you, because I'm gonna do this right off the bat, so we know that I have this. You can establish telepathic communication between yourself and others, perfect for quiet infiltration. As an action, choose one or more creatures you can see, up to a number of creatures equal to proficiency bonus, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Perfect.
And then I roll my psionic energy die, which is a D8 sickle. Should have that ready, sorry. Oh, ha, so 8. So for 8 hours, you can speak telepathically back and forth to each other. Send, receive nice. Message. No action required. And the other creature must be within a mile. And you all speak languages, so that's fine. We can do it. And comment. First time I use the power, I don't expend the dice. Oh, that's new. I didn't know that part. Okay, so I don't expend it. All right, perfect. So that's I do that. And I think I'll just say in everyone's mind, I'll just say, all right, what did we get ourselves into now? And that's how we communicate.
I jump back a little bit, and then I cautiously reach forward, not with the sword hand, and like touch your shoulder while looking in the mirror.
I touch you back.
Is this what is this? What? Why? I see you. What is this magic?
I don't know, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure we want to stay here for too much longer. And I look down at the legs that I just put on the floor when I actually woke up.
You see Tamron sort of like gently set the arms down finally, like just kind of very carefully lower them down, like, oops. what, where, who, why? Very confused. I'm very confused. I don't like to be this confused. Who did we kill and why did we kill them? And who are you and why do I think
and I why did
you?
I have his head?
So many questions right now.
My head just kind of lowers a little bit, like, oh god. I'm gonna look around the room if I can, like, just everyone, just let's take a second and just get a feel for the space. And I want to search the room a little bit for a little more information. Is there a lot of blood everywhere? Like, I want clues.
Roll me a perception check, please, with advantage for that question.
You are covered in blood.
There's blood everywhere with advantage. It's everywhere. Please fail.
Not blood.
With advantage. 9 and my perception is a 6. So 15.
Okay. Yeah, you asked the right question, because everyone's throwing all of these things and things are falling and people are dropping stuff. And like, you're like, okay, when I caught that thing, blood should have splattered all over me. When stuff was dropped, blood should have, there's no blood. Just body parts.
Okay. How about the bed? Any blood on the bed?
No blood anywhere.
God damn it. Are there books? I start rifling through books and shelves.
Yeah. You look at everything. You knock over books. You
like name. You, like, who is this?
Yeah. You look inside of things. You can't find anything. You're so confused.
Is there a name tag? Is there a torso? Where's the torso, Kurt? Does anyone have a torso? Does anyone have a torso?
I go to the door.
Out of this room. How many doors are there?
There is one door in and out. And there is one. There is one window that is across the room, past the bed, and it is, and I can't think of the word, but when windows are, they're kind of covered on purpose, it's like, it's still a window, but you can't see through it. I don't know the technical term for that.
Like it's translucent, like frosted, but it's not transparent.
Frosted, yes. It's like a frosted window. You can't tell what's happening on the other side of it. Frosted
window pane.
I go to the door to listen, since I have no idea where we are, and we've apparently just killed someone. So I want to make sure that there's no commotion outside.
Okay. That's interesting that you said that, because as you are thinking that, you hear many feet hitting the ground, and it feels like they're coming towards you. And you hear someone say really loud, "They must be out there. Let's check. There. The king has been murdered. I bet you they're in his room as we speak."
And I say telepathically, "How would they even know that? Like, we just woke up here. Shit, help me push this in front of the door." He starts pushing like a gigantic wardrobe against the door dresser. You know,
Sam definitely helps.
Yeah.
We do. We blockade the door.
Right, but there's no way out of here. So what's your plan?
He says over his shoulder, "The window. We're going to go out the window, I guess."
"We're definitely going out the window."
Tota definitely. He pulls out. He has like these golden orbs on him, like in pouches. He pulls one out, throws it, and it turns into a pair of glowing green hands that help push the door. That help...
I guess once the whatever furniture is in front of the door, he says, "Well, I guess we could kill them too, I suppose. Can anybody see out the window? Is there..."
"Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean too? We didn't kill this guy.
You were holding his head. Somebody must have killed him."
"Yeah, but that doesn't..." I think I would have remembered doing something like that."
"I think I would have remembered coming here as well, but here we are."
"All right, good point."
"I don't think we want to be in here when they get into this room."
"I don't think I want to be here at all."
Can I break? Do we have stuff? Like, do we have our equipment?
Have everything on you.
This is a king's bedroom, correct?
Presumably.
There is no way there is not another way out of this room. There has to be a back door. I mean, how else would he get his secret lovers in here? There's got to be a secret door.
There's always secret lovers. Excellent, Tamron.
Start rifling again, literally, for secret doors.
Nice. Okay, everybody roll a perception check for me. Tamron, you get advantage.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I got a crit.
Oh,
nice.
Crit your own pants.
25.
Could I do investigation instead?
You can.
Yeah. Ooh, 22.
Beautiful.
19. Natural 20.
Nice. Whoa, what is happening?
We also found already? The mistresses. We found all the mistresses' bodies. Yeah.
She's like, "You've... wait, I've done this before. This is familiar, you guys."
Cam looks down, looks in the mirror at what he looks like. He goes, "Am I one of the mistresses? What's happening?"
Okay, so I am going to have a little pause break in this. So when it comes to when I run a game, I always love to reward people for getting a 20 on anything, whether you're doing combat, whether you're doing any kind of check or anything like that. If you get a 20, I'm going to give you something great. If you roll a 1, then we're going to go the opposite way. You might lose a limb, you might forget things, that kind of thing. I like to punish people for not rolling well, even though it's the dice's fault. I understand that, but it just makes for that much better of a game. Okay, so with this campaign, what I'm going to have happen is you get to choose what you want to do with your 20. So, and it's going to seem kind of counterintuitive, but for this game, it'll kind of make sense. So when you roll a 20, one of two things can happen. You can... on a check for anything, if you roll a 20, you get the option of A, successfully kicking ass on that check. Obviously, if we're talking about this, you're going to find that lever, we're going to find that passageway, you're going to find your way out. Another thing you can do is, because you have this weird amnesia, you roll a 20, a piece of your memory comes back. They give you a little tidbit of something from your past. So Belzarin and Tamron, you've both rolled 20s. How do you want to use those?
Why do we have to make? Do we have to decide separately?
Well, I think,
how
I think,
about
I
no?
Think Tamron's I think like there's the door.
It's there.
That right panel there. Right there. Just run your fingers along the edge. You'll be able to find it.
Now I'll say this before you make your decision. If you decide that you want to use your 20 also for that, I'll just give you a lot more piece of the information as far as, you know, getting out of here. So I'll let that be up to you.
Oh, but that's even more pressure, because then that's good for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I do these things, because it's fun to put you in those moments where you're like, what do I do? I live for that.
So help everybody.
Okay.
If you find out more about your history, that helps everybody too. So yeah. It's six of one, half dozen of the other.
That's true.
Our immediate problem is getting out of here. He feels, yep. So like, I guess as he's looking around, right? Like he gets, you know, like a thought starts to percolate in his head, but he pushes it away as there's like more pressing matters to attend to. So like, it's almost like you have that word on the tip of your tongue and you're almost there. And he's like, you know,
yeah, exactly. Perfect. Yeah. So, you know, so Tamron's just like, well, yeah, it's just one of these things. She literally just goes right up to where the bed is. There's a like lamppost. She pulls it down. The bed moves, and there is a trap door that leads down.
Floor door.
Floor door. Love.
There's always a
check glass campaign. Floor doors. Always a floor door. Okay. So, you know, you open up the door. You see that it's going down. Who has dark vision?
Me.
Ooh.
Ooh, got it.
Everybody but Tamron does. Okay. So if any of you look down, it is dark as hell. So it you would assume that whoever's going down this would either have a dark vision or bring a
torch.
Torch. Yep. Boy.
Or
things.
She just uses a cantrip to cast light.
There you go. Perfect.
Or unsheathe your moonlight sword. Did you take that? Or is that no?
I did not. I did not take the moonlight sword.
Damn it. All right, all right. Talked about that.
Listen, her personality is glowing enough. All right. She just.
Personality is moonlight.
So, Belzaren, so like as you are, do you guys start to head downstairs? Because you can hear that the steps are getting closer.
Yeah. Wow, it's really dark down here. Can you guys see?
Tamron cast light, so you can see.
Yeah.
We can all see.
Before we go down,
I'm gonna pull out another ball and toss it, and you'll see these little floaty notes come out of it. And once they pop, you start to hear I don't necessarily know what the king sounded like. So you just start to hear a voice go like, I'm sleeping. I'm trying to go to sleep. Leave me alone. And that just starts playing on repeat.
Nice. So you're doing that in the room before you guys head down?
In the room before we leave, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you guys start heading down. And Belzaren, and you realize that as you're going down those stairs, if it wasn't as dark, you wouldn't. And you weren't as, or now that it's light, sorry. And because you're paying that much more attention, it looks like it's just a straight, just going down kind of in a sort of like a circle staircase kind of thing. But there is a, like a breakout from that, that goes like in a different direction, and it smells like outside, and you just in the back of your head think, okay, we need to break off this way because going the other direction is not going to bring us to where we want to go.
So I stop. I put a hand up and I said, you pulled the lever to close the floor door, right?
We definitely closed the floor door.
Okay, great. So if we go this way, it smells like outside. We want to go this way, but maybe we should light a torch and throw it down the steps so they'll see the light if they know where the floor door is here, and we're going to scoot out this way.
That's great thinking.
Great. I pull my pack off, and I get out the cinder and the flint, and I strike it a couple times, get a torch going, and then just, if it's open in the center, he'll throw it down, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing how far it might be. I mean, if it feels hollow, like it's a very long distance, I might kick it down the stairs.
Right? Yeah.
It's like 400 feet, right? Like they might not even see that light then.
Yeah. It feels like it goes on forever.
All right. I kick it down the steps.
Okay. Sounds good. So, you know, as you do that and you guys kind of break off, you hear a voice from the top that must know where that lever is. And you hear something go, I think he's down here. I think they're down here. Let's go down this way. And you hear trampling feet as you guys break off. As you kind of break off, you realize that there is a wooden door that blocks you from going any further. What do you do?
I pull out my lock picks and I get to work at the picking the locks.
Okay. Sounds good.
You would like to.
No, you can, if you start doing it, that's fine. I'll let you do it. But I'm thinking, I see the torch that's going down. I want to throw some thermaturgy on it and make it flicker a lot to make it look like it's like going down the stairs.
Nice.
To try and like draw their attention to it. So I thermaturgize it into doing that.
Nice.
Ooh, if you're going to do that, can I also, I'm going to make like the shadowed outline of a person.
Yes.
Down in the other hall, just like goofily walking down the hallway.
We are D&D-ing.
I got a 15, Kurt.
Nice. Okay. So it takes you a little bit. It seems like it's what the keyhole just seems very like odd, like nothing you've ever seen before. You're really kind of nudge it. You're really trying to get it, and you're like, it starts to feel like your lockpick is gonna break, and then finally you actually get it to unlock.
Great. So puts everything away real quick. Come on, this way. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, we follow, I'm assuming.
Yep. So as you go through the door, I would like you all to roll me a perception check.
Is there a thumb lock on this side? Can we easily lock it?
Yes.
Okay. I do so. What is that?
16.
12. 15. 12. Okay. So you all see on the... other side that if somebody would have tried to force this door open or not got it open, that there was this kind of cloud of electricity on the other side that was probably waiting to strike. So it's a good thing that Belzaren actually was able to do it with no fuss, no muss.
Ooh, that could have been real bad.
Oh, go on. You all smell.
Huh.
You smell like something... living, something almost like a lot like livestock. It smells horrible. It almost smells like excrement, and you hear a lot of like cawing and growling, and it doesn't sound menacing. It just sounds like a bunch of noise.
So what does it look like in this place where we've come out?
So where you've come out, it almost looks like a stable area. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of like wooden like walls that kind of just segment, and you don't really see what's behind them, but you can hear those noises and you can smell the smells, and it almost smells like you can smell like fresh air.
All right. Well, if we start walking past the stalls, can we see what critter is in there?
Sure. Are you just going to walk right in front of it? Are you going to sneak around it? Or, how are you going to do that?
Are there no gates or doors in front of them?
There are. When you start to kind of creep up, you see that there are gates there. You don't know if they're locked or unlocked. They look like they might be metal.
Is it like a barred gate or is it solid?
It almost looks like it's barred, but it's also got like... Without getting too close, it almost looks like there's some kind of ornate symbols or something on them.
Oh, okay.
Arcane symbols?
I don't know. You got to get close enough to find out.
I mean, I don't think I care enough to look. I mean, I don't.
I do.
I don't.
As a trained adventurer, I will stealthily and carefully move myself up into a position where I can... see the symbology upon the gate.
For sure. So you look at the you start to kind of creep up on this gate to see the symbols of it, and this huge thing just smashes up against the gate and just kind of like tries to like peck at you and snarl. It's a huge griffin is stuck behind this, but it doesn't break through, but it kind of like snaps at you and just kind of growls at you.
And I will fall back onto my bum.
Get back.
I want you to roll me a perception check with disadvantage.
I can do that. That's a 7.
Okay. So you're kind of looking at you're trying to look to see what the symbols and everything kind of mean on the gate, but you're just so scared. You almost turn like pale because you're just so scared of what's going to happen in it. And this griffin kind of sees you and sees how small you are. And it instead of like attacking again, and it almost kind of like just kind of sniffs at you and just kind of like goes towards the gate, and it growls a little bit, but not like you're its enemy. It's just almost like a small warning.
Oh, guys, I think I want to come out. I think we should let it out.
We should let it out. Look at it.
Look at it.
It's very cute, Tata. We can't let it out. We have to keep moving.
But are there saddles? Could we ride them?
I look for saddles.
Cam, it's not meant to be in here.
It's meant to be fitting into the sunset so that we can get away.
It actually has a saddle on it.
God damn it.
A saddle.
On the one, yes.
I mean, to be, I take up like a quarter of a saddle, so
you could totally
remember. Yeah. Well, for the people that are not Tota, there are 6 stalls in total.
So Tamron checks the next stall. Is there another griffin in there with a saddle?
Yep. And this one is actually sleeping. It looks like it's sleeping very peacefully, for a kind of beastly, scary thing, it looks very cute. Just sleeping away. It's almost kind of doing this like, that's like kind of thing.
I guess she's going to speak very gently to it. Be like, hey there, little guy.
Okay. Roll me a charm check.
Okay. Do you want me to do like animal handling?
You can do animal handling. Yep. If you have that, that's perfect.
Try that. 19.
Oh, beautiful. So it's sleeping real peacefully. And if like everybody knows, like waking up a griffin is probably the worst thing to do. But in this case, this griffin, it's sleeping very peacefully, and it like peeks open an eye, just one eye, and just kind of looks in the direction and sees you, and it kind of cocks its head a little bit and is kind of curious, and it just gets on its high or gets on its legs and just kind of like does a little bit of a stretch and just like shakes everything off, and then it just kind of like just pats towards you. And it, for a monstrous beast like this, it seems almost like a small chicken that's just curious to see why you're there.
Oh, we're going in for the scritches, like, you know, okay. Right kind of, yeah, around the jaw. Ears, like right where it, oh, can, yeah, get to.
Is there hay around here?
Yes, there's hay everywhere.
Oh, Tota has 2 handfuls of hay.
What are you doing?
we need to go. We need to get out of here.
We're getting on griffins.
We can't get on griffins. Do you even know how to ride a griffin?
Cam.
You fly.
Cam, I'm too tiny to ride it. Can you ride it and I can ride on with you?
Absolutely. Of course. So she like, you know.
And giant, giant eyes.
Assuming this thing sparkles
around you.
Assuming that it doesn't mind if she saddles up, she'll lean down and grab Tota.
They are still
unfortunately, there is a gate that's in the way. So you gave the scritches. You got very close with it, but this gate, which you see, Tamron, that has this almost this coat of arms, and it's got this like almost like the split in four, and it's got the griffin, and it's got a sword, and it's got a Wow, what did I call the king? The king was a
praying mantis.
Praying mantis like claw, and then the last thing was like a pile of gold. And then there's this big like almost like a cursive V that lays in the middle of it. And there is a lock in the center of that gate. And it seems to be locked.
Well, it's locked. So
Well, we have someone who's proficient at such things, and she turns and looks at Belzar.
We're just dead set. You're just dead set on this. This is so dangerous.
Flying off into the sunset. Yes, I am. Doesn't it sound glorious?
Yeah. Cam looks at Belzarin. A little help here. This is insane.
We will get out of here faster.
And farther away.
God damn it.
So he looks so around. He looks around for like a key ring on a nail, like by the front door. Right, like
sweet.
Dan just starts picking one of the locks. I just start picking one of the locks. I say, fuck.
Okay.
Like, God damn it. Like,
all right. So I'm going to have Cam and I'm going to have Cam roll a lock picking if you can. And I'm going to have Belzarin do a perception check.
I'm going to say, 23. So Tota will turn to Cam and say, a little help it is. And he'll take one of the balls and just like blow it at you. And you get all sparkly around your head, and you can add a D4 to your roll.
I like this. I think it happens. I think it just goes, goddamn sparkles.
You get a little kiss on your cheek when the bubble bursts.
I hate every second of it. Okay, so we do sleight of hand for the lockpicking. I got thieves' tools. So does that give me some sort of a thing?
Add your proficiency bonus, but if you're already trained in that skill, you're gonna get that anyway, so it seems stupid to me. Unless you get
if it's sleight of hand is the lockpicking skill, right? Is that correct? So I'm not proficient in that, but I do have these tools with the gotcha. Thank you. So that means that's technically a 6. So 21 plus 1 is a 22. Do I pick the lock?
Nice. The one was on the
D4. Thank you. Thank you for the D4.
That's perfect.
You're welcome. Perfect. Goddamn sparkle balls.
Belzarin, what did you get for a roll?
It was like a 23, 18 plus 5.
Nice. Perfect.
We got key.
So, So literally at the same time, Belzarin is like, I found a key. Cam is like, boom, just unlocks the door or unlocks the gate. And this huge griffin just starts piling towards where Cam is, knocks Cam over, and then kind of like very nicely jumps onto Tamryn and just starts licking her face.
Oh, gosh.
She's giggling.
Cam just looks up from the dirt like, oh, God. This is such a bad idea.
Okay, that's going to take too long. I've got the keys. Stop fucking around.
He's just like, I got the door open.
But that's going to take too long if you have to pick all these locks.
Right, fine. Give me a key.
So I open up the one that the stall that Tota was at.
Okay. So you open the stall that Tota was at, and the other griffin kind of stomps through and does not look very pleased.
I'm going to name you Pistachio.
Oh, God, he named it.
Hey, buddy, take it easy. We're letting you out, okay? Like, it's cool. Be cool.
Tamryn, can you calm that one down?
She'll get this one to calm down a little bit, and she'll walk over, carefully to the other one and see if she can get it to calm down. Natural 20.
Yes.
Nice. Nice.
So good. At this
so.
Game.
21.
So. So it sees how like nice and like soft and like caressing that you were with the other griffin, that it at first it just, and it like looks like it's going to bare its teeth at you or whatever. And it looks to see what you've done there. And it kind of tilts its head as well. And then it almost looks like it does one of like a head nod, like, okay, fine kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it will kind of saddle up and just kind of move a little bit, let you touch its face just barely before it kind of like turns its head away. And then it kind of walks a little bit, and then it plops its butt right next to Tota and like looks at Tota and like gives it a look like, I don't know if this is a good idea, almost in its face. And then it'll look at Tota and go,
it's like a cat. It's like a giant cat.
I manifest 2 green hands and I start giving it scritches on top of its head.
Nice. And it takes it. It doesn't like it as much as when Tamryn did it, but it still is like, okay, fine, that kind of thing, you know.
Pistachio, you are.
Do you want to go with Tota, or do you want your own? What do you want?
I'm thinking Tota should probably ride with Tamron, because if anyone is going to like ride safely, it's going to be Tamron. And so Tota can sit in the back, and we'll have to just do our best on our own, I guess.
Okay. He starts looking real quick at some of the other ones to see if any of these things are awake and like interested.
Yeah. I want you to roll me a perception check real quick.
Okay. Oh, damn it. It fell over. 17.
Okay. Yeah. So, it looks like out of the other four, like two of them are like okay with like you go and you just kind of like, hey, and they're kind of like, okay. And then there's two that are, as soon as you get by the gates, they're like plowing through it. It's almost like they're trying to plow through the gate to break it. And they snarl and kind of like just really are quite violent.
Okay. I go to one of the other two then and open up the door and just, kind of same thing, talk softly, kind of put a hand out. Hey, buddy, we're going to go for a little ride. You want to go outside?
Yeah. And you hear that other griffin that was kind of grumpy before as the other one kind of walks out, it lets out this like kind of like noise, and it makes the other griffin almost kind of like shrink back a little bit, and then it kind of like just like straightens itself back up, and then it'll just kind of pat by you, and then it'll just kind of sit down.
You want this one, Cam, or the angry guy?
I'll take the angry guy. You take the docile one.
All right, well, let's get the fuck out of here then. And he'll push the front door. Well, Tota, can you open up the door with one of your, like, he starts waving his hands.
And he goes, of course. And
wait, hold on. Let's get mounted up first.
Everybody saddles up.
We saddle up.
If they'll let us, I guess.
Yep, they let you.
Okay.
Yep. It has a couple of straps too, where it like actually like goes around your waist, so you could tie it so you're not thrown.
I guess we do so. I have Tota open up the door.
All right. And I'll the green hands shoot out and go to push the door open.
Okay.
They can only lift 10 pounds though, so I'm not sure if it's going to be able to open the door or not.
Okay.
You're pushing the door on a hinge.
Yeah.
But it is one of those that's it's like a big, almost like big barn doors that are going to start going open. So it does kind of start to do it. And then it just kind of just kind of like stops it, because it's not quite enough force. As Tota does this, some of the hay and like debris and stuff like that kind of like suck through the bottom of the door real quickly. And you hear the whooshing of air.
Oh, guys, that doesn't look good. I purposely did not open the door because I knew that was going to happen.
Yes, that was very wise, Tota.
Can we?
I could open it if I wanted to.
Can we edge one of the griffins up?
Yeah, Tamron's going to ride her griffin over like close enough and turn sideways. Can you tell I've ridden horses? She's going to turn sideways and lean down to like open the gate and push it out.
So there's like a bit like one of those big latches mm-hmm. where it's got like this thing where it just kind of clamps, and all you do is pull it up and you push it. Yep. And literally just all of a sudden just air just sucks everything out, and the griffins kind of like hold steady because they're expecting what's happening. What you see going out, all you see is sky.
All right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so you just nice. All you hear is like
yeah, and then
she is laughing and screaming at the same time.
Nice.
Tota is just screaming.
All right, so I need a marching order. So it looks like Tamron is out first, but you are riding with, or you have Tota riding with you, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. And then Cam, I'll say Cam's next. And
I
then
I think Cam would make a point of going out last, unless that wasn't the okay. order that.
No, nope, no, that's perfect. No, that's yeah. If that's your plan, then I will make it so.
I look back at Cam and I grit my teeth as the griffin starts to pad over towards the open door.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Cam's not looking too good, not too solid about this either.
I don't yell, I don't scream, I just I grab on real tight and close my eyes.
Yeah. Close your eyes, you can't ride the
griffin. And the griffin's gonna do all the work.
Yeah, you don't ride a griffin. The griffin just carries you.
You still have to steer where you want.
It knows where it's going.
It knows exactly where it's going.
It's like a trail
horse.
It's
following
Tamara.
That's what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. It's a griffin pack, and Tamron is the pack leader.
Yeah.
Nice. So as you're pushed out again, you see nothing but clouds and air and sky, and your griffins just they kind of glide along the sky just for a moment, and almost like going to a theme park when you're on a roller coaster. Then all of a sudden, boom, you're swooped down and you realize that you are hundreds, maybe even thousands of feet up in the air. This castle has been floating in the air for God knows how long, and your griffins are plunging down to the land below.
I think when the plunge starts, I might yeep a little bit.
Cam is openly like
Tota is like
so pulled back,
like yeah, head yeah, yeah. like head buried in the griffin, because I would like to make I am in Tamron's lap, like I'm not riding on the back, I am in the front. Yes. Like a little child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Tamron meanwhile is literally having the time of her life. She may or may not have wings, but she is having the time of her life.
Nice. So I'm loving how where this is going. I want Tamron, I want you to roll another animal handling check, please. But I want you to do it with advantage this time.
Okay. You got pets early.
Well, the first roll was an 8, but the second roll was a 20.
Oh, thank God.
Wow. Nice.
It was not a natural 20, though. It was a 19 plus 1, so it was a 20.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. So these griffins are obviously trying to bring you to a certain spot, but I would like you to tell me how you maneuver this griffin, and how does this griffin lead the other griffins to where they're going?
Mm. Well, I mean, horses are pack animals and they will follow the leader. So I'm going to say they act like horses. My question for you is, what do I see? Like as you know, because she doesn't know where she is and she has no idea. All she sees is sky everywhere. Right. So are there places to land that she can see? Is there land? Like when she turns around and she looks back, like what does she see?
Yeah, so you see lands that go 4 miles. You see, you know, you may see little bodies of water, but it's like there's not too many there. It's just mostly just land all over the place. And like, because you're so high, everything looks so small, but you can tell like there's like villages, and you can see that there's like cities and there's maybe some small towns. Mm-hmm. And none of it looks familiar to you at all.
Okay. And where does it seem like the griffin wants to go? Is it heading towards one of the towns or?
And actually, it looks like it's heading towards one of the more fancier cities that you're seeing, which makes sense because you are riding the griffin of a king.
Right. She does not probably want to go there. she's probably going to, are we still psychically connected, John? Can we talk to each other?
As long as it hasn't been 8 hours. Yes.
Okay. So in her head, she's going to say, okay, the griffins are heading towards that city. I don't think we should land in their normal stables. Do we want to go to the city and land outside of it somewhere and release the griffins and walk in?
Yeah, no city.
No city.
No, we're going to cities.
Well, not at the stable anyway. If they've relayed word, then they may be on the lookout.
Where would we like to go? Because literally, I have no idea where I am. And I mean,
well, if they want to go this way and he points to the right, then we should go that way and he points to the left.
Okay, so if there's a city over here that they're heading towards, she's going to head towards the town in this direction. But it has to at least be large enough to have an inn and a bed and someplace where I can play my instrument, okay?
It might not be a great idea to land in a town or city with the king's griffins. We might have to find like a clearing or something.
In the town. I already covered this. I said we're going to land outside of the town.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm having a tough time holding on.
We'll release the griffins and then we'll walk in. We'll be fine.
Fine, whatever. Whatever you think's best.
All right. So she's going to look for a decent sized town.
Perfect. And, you know, you guys are kind of relaying it to each other through your own minds, collectively, you all hear this voice in your head and you hear it say, well, I think that's quite a right good idea, going outside of a town.
Toad, is that you?
Toloco, 1, 2, 3. I thought there was only 4 of us.
Who's on this channel?
You hear a voice say, well, that might be me. And you see this little tiny being kind of floating in the air kind of around you.
Oh shit, it's the guy that used to antagonize Fred Flintstone. Shit.
We're fucked. Abandon, just jump.
And it's got this little being. It looks like it's got a big, big bald head that's white as snow, and it's got the tiniest little body, and it looks almost human but also fairy-like because it has wings as well. And as you're kind of looking at it, it almost looks like it's kind of fading in and out of existence.
Does this ring a bell for me for Arcana or anything?
You can roll for that if you like.
Okay.
None of us like recognize this person.
15?
Yeah, you know it's it feels like it's magical in nature, but it looks like nothing you've ever seen.
Who are you and why are you flying around us and why are you following us? And honestly, she puts her hands back on the reins.
Yeah. Yes, please.
And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's rude of me. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Quips.
Oops. Who are you? What are you doing here? Where are we? What is happening?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Do you know, you don't know who I am?
We have no idea.
No, yeah, you're Quips.
Shut up, Tata.
Do you know who you are?
I'm not sure how much more I can say. We have no idea what's going on.
Oh, it must be. There must be some.
Oh, he says.
Well, that's rude. I'm trying to help you and all you're doing is picking on me. I don't understand that.
Whips, can you tell us where we are and what's happening, please?
Yes, you are in the land of Verdonia, of course.
How did we get here? Do you know who we are? Because we don't know who you are.
Oh, you don't. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. I told them. I knew something would go wrong, and it did. Oh, boy, I tell you, when they greenlight things like this, I tell them we always have to do more tests, but they never want to do the test. They always want to greenlight the thing and they just want it to work. But you know what? I knew it was going to work. Oh. I am so sorry, but unfortunately, I can't tell. I can only tell you very minute things, because if I were to tell you everything at once, I fear it would be very bad for you and your mind. But what I can tell you is that you have been brought here for reasons of helping. You are supposed to help. And then he says, oh, wait a minute. And he goes into feeling for like pockets, and then he just kind of like shakes his head like, I don't have any pockets. And he like snaps his fingers and he brings out this little like device that looks like, it almost looks like an old calculator. And he just starts pushing these buttons and they make really loud sounds. And he's like, okay. Yes. Yes. And he like shakes a little bit, kind of slaps it on his leg. He's like, oh, that won't do. Oh, it seems like in the process of this whole thing, this whole thing is not quite working the way I wanted to, but says like
he broke his edge.
Looks like there might be a 67% probability that you're here to catch who's killed the king.
Oh, that was us.
Grips.
Da-da-da! No, I don't think it was you, because why would we put you in the bodies of these people if you weren't trying to figure out who did it for sure?
Why? I was holding his head.
And I had his arms, and people were showing up to arrest us for killing him.
Okay. So you were holding parts, you say?
Body parts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, do you remember if you actually slaughtered this being?
No.
Quips, we don't even know who we are. He points to Tamron.
Please keep your hands on the reins.
Well, it's weird because you don't know who each other is or what you do, but I hear you saying your names. Like, how do you know each other's names but not know what's going on here? I don't understand.
You don't remember anything. No, we know
you're beginning to get it.
Even in cases of extreme amnesia, people can often remember slight details about their own personality.
It's weird because you all volunteered for this project, and yet now you're mad at me for what happened. It's frustrating.
So I volunteered to kill a guy? I don't like that.
No. You volunteered for our experimental time travel program.
Uh-huh. What now?
The experimental time travel program where you are able to embody other people and solve important parts of history.
This ring a bell for you guys?
Whips, if that is the case, something has clearly gone wrong.
Well, yeah, he said something went wrong.
Yes, so we do not know anything.
This is very troubling. But, and he's like starts to like mess with his pad again or whatever, and he says, there is a 52% probability that your amnesia will come back. That's good news.
That our amnesia will come back?
But I think we have that now, Quips.
Or our memories will come back.
I'm sorry. You know what? I might have a little bit of
killing me.
You know, I was perfectly fine until I came here to talk to you to all. So you know what? The program is flawed. I knew it.
And you sent us anyway.
You all wanted to be in this program, and you all thought it would be all hunky dory. But look where we are now. Look who's the fool.
You made us sign waivers, didn't you? I'm sure we probably signed a waiver.
It's always a waiver.
All right, so we're supposed to solve the mystery of who murdered the king, but it surely seems like it's the bodies that we're in. Still don't understand how. I feel
wait, so I'm not me?
He starts like looking at his hands, like.
Well, in the king's mirrors, Cam looked like a fairy, a human-sized fairy, and I looked like a vampire. And he like holds his hands out to look. I mean, I look like me if I'm looking at my own hands, right?
Yeah, correct.
Do I look like a vampire to you?
No.
He throws his hands up, and then he like quick grabs their hands again.
Sorry, I just realized how weird this now looks to people from the outside, because to us, it looks like Tamron has a small child in her lap riding a griffin, but to outsiders, there's a pink mind flayer with an orange mohawk with a massive orc in her lap.
Yes.
I'm glad you figured that out.
That's gorgeous.
It's all coming through now.
I wasn't going to say anything until somebody saw it, but you got it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to see some sort of artwork with that.
Yes.
So wrong on every level. Okay. I don't suppose, Quips, you have any direction on what we should do next?
And he said, you know what? I might. Let me check. And he like messes with the data pad again. You hear a bunch of just like really nasty noises. And he just keeps hitting his hand with the thing. And he just, and then it almost makes like an R2-D2 like sad noise out of it or whatever. And he says, oh, wait a minute. Here it is. He says, go to the small town of Rufdar. Ruffdar. Ruffdar. You will find your answers.
All right. Where
can you
that?
Point us in the direction? Yes. Yes. Thank you, Tamron.
Oh, it looks like north, right? And he like starts like fading kind of like in and out. And he's like, what? No. And then just disappears.
He did say north. We should go that way then.
And he reaches into his bag and pulls out this dark black orb and waves his hand over it. And a small arrow comes onto the top of it and just goes and then points north.
Nice. Nice.
All right. Well, north.
Yeah. So you start heading north, and it's actually not as bad as you think it is. So you're heading, and you like, there's like little bodies of water, almost kind of a marsh. And you're like, obviously that's not it. And then just kind of off to the distance, there is this very dark looking, dingy kind of town. And that seems like that might be the place that you're going, because everything else just kind of seems like out of the way or desolate. And it doesn't really seem like there's anything else around.
Yeah. Desolate. Good.
Let's go there.
Yep. So you can either fly into town or you can land just outside in the marsh area.
Oh, definitely outside.
Does the marsh completely surround the town, or can we go in from the other side? Like the marsh is in the, you know, southeast, so we land in the northwest instead.
Yeah, unfortunately the marshland is actually surrounding it.
Is there a road that leads to it?
Yeah, there's actually like three roads that lead to it. So there's one right as you're coming into the south side of town. Well, you're going north, but there you look like you're coming from the south. And then there's one either the east or the west.
So maybe we just land on the road a distance back and then take the road in.
I think so. Risking malaria going through the marsh. It's bad time. It's so desolate out here.
All right. Let's land on the east side, just so it doesn't look like we came from this direction. So, you know, a distance far enough away that, you know, no one can see Griffin's land, and then land on the road there before, you know, letting them go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you land, and even these roads are not great. They're like a dirt road, very rocky. You almost kind of have to land just kind of outside. There's still like, it's still marshy kind of around the road, but it's not as bad. And it's like, if you decide to land on the road, you're probably going to irritate the griffin. So it's probably best to kind of go on the marshy part of it. And you guys kind of land, and you can tell the griffins are just kind of irritated. Like they're just like, they're not used to this, even though they live in kind of their own pens up in the sky or whatever. Like those were still pretty great compared to this. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, getting through the marsh, and they're just kind of like almost picking up their feet, like kind of thing, you know, and they're like, and the one that was kind of crabby just is like, and it's just like really just irritated that it isn't even has to be here.
So I guess everyone demounts, and Tamron gives them a good, you know, scritch for good measure. And then the one that she was riding, she'll just kind of put her head up next to it, and she'll whisper in its ear for a moment and then kind of pat it, and then, all right, shoo. Off you go.
You go, go free, Pistachio.
And the one that Tamron was riding in, and Tota, it kind of like, it looks like it's ready to go, but it kind of rubs up against you, Tamron, a little bit, and kind of sniffs a little bit. And then just kind of plainly just kind of pushes Tota just a titch. And then the griffins just kind of in tandem or whatever, or in a big group, just all of a sudden just fly back up towards the king's castle.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah, sorry, you're not getting griffins for this adventure.
Well, no, I just thought they'd like go free, but no, they're we're gonna go back to our.
Yeah, no, they're probably like treated really well, so they're probably like, "Yep, this is where we're going back. Not staying here." They're not domesticated.
All right, so we start walking towards Rufter.
Let's go find some answers.
Yep. So you guys start kind of walking towards Rufter. And it looks like the only thing I can like explain it is almost like just like an old movie where like the city is dirty and scummy, and all the people that are walking around, their clothes are tattered and there's dirt all over their face. They're very hard working, it looks like, because this callus is on hands, and you know, it's just nobody is dressed nicely. Everyone is just, you know, covered in dirt and like wet and just kind of gross. But you know, people don't seem particularly unhappy, but they don't seem particularly happy as well.
What do they think about a mind flayer and a orc and
beasts come walking into their town?
I would like you all to roll me a perception check.
7.
23.
19.
All right, so everyone but Tota is looking at the reactions of the people in this town, and they're not fazed by you at all. It's almost like you seem familiar. And as you're kind of like looking at them and just wondering like why, you know, obviously we're all just like this ragtag group of people, whatever. You see this little kid. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask if I could have made an insight check instead. The result is the same. It's still 23.
Just to read the
faces and kind of like see what the reaction is.
Yeah, you're in Belzaren. You feel that people actually in this town actually know who you are.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I whisper that as we're walking. They seem to know who we are.
Dam says inside your mind. You can still talk inside our minds.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm in your head.
Oh, okay.
I'm inside you, Cam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and as you are like, you know, like they seem to recognize us or whatever, a little kid just kind of walks up with this handful of mud and is just like, oh, look who it is, the horrendous four. And he goes and flings this wad of dirt and water and marshy grass, and it hits Cam in the face
before it hits him. She's gonna press the digitation that shit away. Not happening. She's just gonna wave her hand and it's gonna turn into like sparkles.
Awesome.
More sparkles.
That's perfect. Love that. Yeah. And the little kid just kind of puts his hands on his hips and is like,
Well, little one, we should be careful about flinging mud on, what did you call us?
The horrendous four, the worst detectives in the land.
She just laughs. She's like,
is that what we call ourselves?
I know nothing about this place. This is in her head.
Yes.
She's like, well, young man, is there perhaps a place that we could go and get a drink? I need one.
Yeah, it looks like your face might need it. And he just starts running away from you.
I'm gonna take one of my balls and toss it as far as I can. And right in front of him, it's gonna turn into a shovel. And as soon as it hits the ground, a roughly 5 by 5 foot area of dirt just lifts up out of the ground. So I make a nice little 5 by 5 by 5 hole right in front of the kid.
Oh boy.
Nice.
What a petulant. Yeah,
and he falls down that hole.
And The dirt will go off to the side. I'm not going to bury a child alive.
No. He deserved it.
No.
And right. I'll go over to the edge of the hole and be like, and you think about that.
It's got to still be that voice, even though he looks like an orc, right? Like, it's still.
Yeah, our voices stay the same.
So we start heading towards, I guess, the center of town. There's probably some sort of inn or something.
Or we look for like signs on a building that says horrendous for investigators.
Is there a check that we can, does any of this strike us as familiar? That, you know, they seem familiar with us. They call us by whatever. Is there anything that sort of triggers any kind of memory as we're walking through town, like going to, you know, to find the inn, find the, you know, find a drink as we're walking?
Sure. Why don't you roll me a wisdom check? I don't know what the check is for remembering things.
I mean, there's not, right? I mean, that's history maybe, right?
But it's So yeah, I would, just a straight wisdom then with your.
I got a 9.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing that really sticks in your head. And you're kind of walking towards what you hope to be an inn. And lo and behold, you see a sign to the left of you that says, "The Extraordinary Four Detectives." Call it there.
It's got to be the place.
Oh, look, but that's not us. No, that's not. No, he said we're the horrendous four.
But he was a petulant little shit.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
What did it say? The
extraordinary four.
Okay, the extraordinary. I just have the horrendous four in my mind.
Oh, and you'll never get it out.
All right. Pink wine player.
We gotta go different. Can't go the same.
I'm just trying to visualize this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do like the cartoon vampire sneak.
Nice.
Yes.
As the Scooby-Doo music,
you're like a Nosferatu behind you. Vampire.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Good mysteries abound.
That's right, lots of things to think about.
Thank you very much.
So just as a background for the people that are watching this, I told them to write a backstory to send to me to no one else, and to also write up a character sheet to send to me too. So the only thing that they really know about themselves are their names, and the reason for it is what you've just experienced.
We've lost our memories. Retrograde amnesia. What is it? Is that what it's called?
Pretty much.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.